All eyes on North Korea this morning and the transition to a new leader.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Adrian Hill, in for Steve Chiatakis. For almost two decades, Kim Jong-il kept North Korea and its economy isolated. The GDP of North Korea is just $40 billion a year, which is just a fraction of South Korea's $1 trillion economy. Much of the economic life in North Korea takes place in illegal markets. Joining me now is Marcus Noland. He's a North Korea expert and a deputy director at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Good morning.
Good morning.
North Korea is an incredibly isolated economy, but as I understand it, the country does have a sizable illegal economy. Can you tell me a little about that?
Well, it really has two kinds of illegal economies. It has an illegal economy that is engaged in illicit activity, things like counterfeiting and drug smuggling. And then it has a kind of market economy in which people buy and sell things but are not sanctioned or authorized to do so. The markets are very significant. They are the principal means by which a typical North Korean family accesses most of their food, for example.
What else is happening in these markets economically outside of these markets?
Well, North Korea has gone through a pretty bad patch over the last couple of years. 2 years ago, they did a surprise currency reform, and this set off very high levels of inflation. I estimate that since that occurred 2 years ago, inflation has been averaging between 100 and 200% a year. The situation really appears to be deteriorating with respect to food. Normally, after the harvest, food prices fall. But this year, rice and corn prices have continued to rise after the harvest, signaling a real worsening of the situation internally.
And with the death of Kim Jong-il, should we expect any significant economic changes?
Not in the short run. He is stepping into power in a relatively weak position. So I think it is unlikely that the North Korean government will show bold initiatives in the economic sphere or foreign policy or anything else. After a period of consolidation of political power lasting 1 or 2 or 3 years, perhaps we may see a greater initiative out of this government. But in the short run, I think it's going to be business as usual, which means misery for the bulk of the North Korean people.
Marcus Noland is deputy director at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Now, let's do the numbers. The Dow is off just about 67 points this morning. It's at 11,799. The Nasdaq is off just about 0.6%. The S&P 500 down about 0.8% at 1,210. In Washington, D.C. today, House Republicans are working on their own plan to extend the payroll tax cuts. They're expected to vote down the bipartisan Senate plan that would have extended the cuts for 2 months. Also today, new housing numbers out show U.S. home builders are a little teeny tiny bit more optimistic about the housing market than they have been. And some Christmas time cheer blowing in for struggling homeowners this week. Due to the still lousy economy, there'll be a halt to many foreclosures and evictions from today till New Year's. But after the moratorium ends, there could be a new wave of foreclosures, Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
It's hard to knock the biggest lenders in the country cutting desperate homeowners some slack just as folks are gathering around the Christmas tree. But this could turn out to be less than a big deal. First, it'll be over pretty fast.
It's going to be back to business 3 or 4 weeks from now when the holiday season ends.
Guy Sakala publishes Inside Mortgage Finance. He says banks will quickly catch up on the tens of thousands of evictions that they delay. Plus, he says banks are going to restart home seizures now that a big legal settlement over foreclosure abuses is moving forward. The moratorium will help a few who find a miracle on 34th or whatever street they happen to live on. Gail Cunningham of the National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
You know, if someone could land a job during that period and convince their lender that they have a plan to catch up on their past due payments, then it could be all it takes to stay in that home.
That's not in the cards for Thelma and Eric Caravantes, though. They stopped paying the mortgage on their well-kept bungalow in Portland, Oregon, after Thelma was laid off as a home health aide. With just Eric's minimum wage job at a grocery store, they couldn't keep up, and the bank is foreclosing.
No tengo una comunicación abierta con el banco, pero
Caravantes says he hasn't had any communication from his bank in weeks. He's not sure whether the family's covered by the halt to foreclosures. So his wife and kids are stripping the Christmas tree and boxing up the ornaments, just in case. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering IRA savings products and a Raise Your Rate 4-year CD. Learn more at allybank.com. And by Money Magazine, a personal finance magazine now accessible on tablets like iPad, Nook Color, Kindle Fire, and select Android devices. Money.com/allaccess.
Caesar's Palace is about to open a new hotel tower in Las Vegas, and they're betting on fancy rooms instead of gambling. Marketplace's Eve Tro says it's a trend in Sin City.
Your room at Caesar's Octavius Tower will have marble floors, a pillow-top mattress, a velvet couch, and a whirlpool tub. Why leave all that serene luxury for this?
They're definitely appealing more to non-gamblers, especially the business travelers.
David G. Schwartz heads the Center for Gaming Research at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He says Caesars is just the latest company to build a boutique hotel inside a mega resort. Steve Wynn and MGM have done the same. Guests don't have to go through the casino to get to their room, but if they want to play,
you're still only a few hundred feet away from the gaming tables, so it's not like you have to leave completely and go to another property.
It's your own private Vegas away from Vegas. Schwartz says it's a big bet meant to lure the wealthiest customers. That's who hotels are competing most fiercely to get, because high rollers have proven they'll keep coming to Vegas no matter how bad the economy gets. I'm Eve Tro from Marketplace.
And finally, turns out the world needs more well-trained English butlers. According to Bloomberg, demand is up as much as 20%. The head of a training agency said, before you get rid of the butler, you get rid of the Ferrari, which is quite a problem to have. Ferrari, butler, Ferrari, butler. In Los Angeles, I'm Adrienne Hill. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You know those big brown delivery trucks you see on the road? Apparently, sometimes they come in green, as in good for the environment.
Well, I've been driving for 34 years with UPS. My previous package car used to gas up every week, and now I gas up once a month.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, Corporate Sustainability Officers, and what exactly they do. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.